Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers Journey Through the Wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends, Tom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Garrett Wong and Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, Terry Farrell.
For the complete and exciting version of this podcast, you've got to check out patreon.com/the Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today. Hello there, friends.
Hello. Hi. Our monsoons have started here in New Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's great. I don't remember.
Do you have like a monsoon season? Is that a thing?
Yes. Isn't that exciting?
I mean, what are you dealing with there with the monsoon? Just heavy rains? Is that mainly it?
Heavy rain. Okay, yesterday it hail, like teeny weeny hail, where it looks like, you know, little Who's from Whoville, the little teeny puffs, to like suddenly it became like really big, like the size of
a marble, a dime, a small marble.
Yeah. And poor Betty was outside and I went running after her. She's like, oh, poor thing. And
the
then
hail.
Just sprinkle. Wow. Yeah.
Hail is so serious in terms of, like, if you think about it, if it's warm enough, it's just rain, which does nothing to your car. But if you have hail, Robbie's had hail damage on his car.
It
leaves these horrible dents, which you're screwed. You have to replace the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Wow. I was worried about the roof. That's what I thought about.
I think they're rated for that. They already, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, they're
but your
tiny.
Your car was not outside when it hailed.
I wouldn't. Right. Honestly, one of the first things, I don't know about you guys, when you have a list of things you want when you're wherever you're renting or buying, attached garage.
Yes.
For safety. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't live without it that way. It makes me too nervous.
So not even a carport, right? If you had a carport, which would be open to everything around, you need an enclosed, attached garage to your foundation.
Yeah,
to your house.
Single woman. You got to be smart about it. That's true. Mean, if you're asking for something, attached garage is not too much to ask for.
No.
Also, if you have an attached garage, you can dump all of your junk and your stuff in there. So where are you going to put all that stuff? I mean, my garage is too small.
My Prius fits and my dad gave me his bicycle.
Oh, nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Is it
when it stops raining, I'm going to go ride it.
Is it flat enough that you can ride comfortably or is it a lot of hills?
Yeah. It's pretty flat. I mean, even though I'm in the mountains, it's sort of like plateaus where they put houses. I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's these weird kind of, I don't know what they're called, but.
Well, good. I remember riding my bike in LA because it's so flat around the flats of LA.
Yeah.
Like the hills get hilly, but once you're down in I was, like Venice
Beach. The hills get hilly, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that?
You heard it here.
Is that mansplaining as well? I don't know. But I want to say for Robbie, he would ride his bike. He told me once, he said, I'm going to ride my bike. I said, to work? And this is when Robbie was working at Warner Brothers. So he rode it. So, Terry, you understand the distance involved. He rode from Marina Del Rey to Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank.
Holy cow.
You understand
how?
On his
bicycle. Is that like 20 miles?
I don't know. I don't know if it was that many miles, but it took like an hour and a half or something for me to get there.
Maybe
more. Yeah, it was
a long ride.
You must
have been in insane shape.
I used to love riding.
Marvin lost a ton of weight doing that.
Yeah.
Marvin Rush did.
Huh. Marvin Rush.
Yeah, he'd ride his bike to work.
Yeah.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So I'm sorry. I was just saying you're in insane shape. Clearly, I need to up my medication. And I interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
Well, congratulations on your bicycle.
On your dad's
bike. Thank you.
On your dad's bike.
It's a history there.
Yeah. Mm.
All right.
We got some birthdays.
Were you in insane shape? Did you love
Oh,
doing it?
I did. I don't know if I was ever in insane shape because I like donuts too much, but I was pretty fit for a while there. Yeah, I loved cycling. One of the ADs I
Dang.
worked with, Chris Della Penna, he was a triathlete. He did the Ironman and stuff like that,
Oh, I didn't
and he
know
lived
that.
near me. Yeah,
Oh.
Chris was on Chuck with me for 5 years. He lived near me in Marina Del Rey, so we would meet up on the weekends and go for these long, like 6 hour rides up to Ventura or all over, we'd go all over the
Oh,
place.
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris
Yeah.
was always in good shape now that I think of
Oh,
it.
yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
visited Robbie many times when he was producing and directing on Chuck over at Warner Brothers. And Chris, I got to know. Chris was very nice to me because one day when I was visiting Robbie, I was sitting in one of the director's chair and I broke it.
You did?
Yes, I
I
sat
don't
down in a
remember.
weird angle and the whole thing just snapped underneath me and I fell on the
Weird
ground.
angle.
Yes. I said, Chris, I'm so sorry. I just broke the chair. And he joked around. He was like, that's no problem. We'll send you what it costs. We'll send you the bill. And I was like, oh, okay. Let me give you the address. And Chris was like, I'm kidding. We're not going to charge you for breaking a director's chair. And I'm like, thank you, Chris. Thank you. So that was nice.
Chris is
Those chairs
awesome.
go through a lot.
Yeah, a lot
Yes,
of
they do.
abuse for sure.
I still have my Star Trek chair in the
Me
garage.
too.
Speaking of garages,
Yes, me too.
I
Do
don't
you
have
have
the
your
chair,
DS9
but I
chair?
have my canvas.
Oh, you
I
didn't
have
take the
my
chair,
canvas.
Terry. You didn't take the
Well,
chair.
no,
You, okay.
because they put Nicole DeBoer on that chair.
Oh, that's right.
They didn't give us our director chairs. They let us
So
have our
funny. Usually
canvas. They put
they
Nicole
just give
DeBoer
the
on the chair.
you
The whole chair.
should, yeah.
The chair
Well, I
backs
was on
would
the cheap
come.
show.
Yeah,
They spent
you could
all
take.
of our money was on screen.
Okay,
It was
fine.
all on the screen
All
for
right.
sure, which
You
is a
take the
good
back
thing.
off, right? You could take the back off
You could take
and
the
the
canvas back off
right
and then put it onto a different chair.
onto the
So they would
chair.
swap out the chair backs
Correct.
during the day because they didn't have enough chairs on hand to fit everybody that could possibly show up. So they'd switch the chair backs.
Because they were over on our set.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh
Well,
my
I took my
gosh.
whole chair. I
Me
have
too.
the wooden
Wow.
frame and
Yep,
everything.
me too.
I remember early on when I got to Hollywood, going to, meetings in producers' offices or things like that, and they would frame their chair backs inside of a frame, and they'd have all these chair backs from all the shows that they'd worked on. And
Nice.
I remember being
Wow.
so intimidated and impressed by that. I was like, wow,
Yeah.
they've got 10 chair backs up on the wall with all the
Yeah.
shows.
Yeah. Birthday time.
Birthday time.
Birthday
Yes, we have some
time. Birthday
birthdays.
time, starting with Terry.
Yay. Zachary Voss, you're having a birthday on May 13th. And I want to be the first to say, happy birthday, Zachary.
Happy birthday, Zachary.
Happy birthday, Zachary Voss. Next up, we have Nicole Bredel. Nicole Bredel, happy birthday to Nicole. That would be May 16th.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
Happy birthday, Nicole. We also have Tristan Everts on May 17th. Happy birthday, Tristan.
Happy birthday, Tristan.
Happy birthday to Tsunami Tristan.
Next, a very happy birthday to Victor Ling, May 17th. Happy birthday, Victor.
Happy birthday, Victor.
Happy birthday, Victor. Also, on May 17th, we've got three people with May 17th birthdays.
Yeah.
Chris Hansen. Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris. And last but not least, we have Andrew Cook-Feltz on May 18th. Happy birthday, Andrew.
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Happy birthday to Andrew, May 18th, which is also my sister's birthday. So happy birthday to
Aww.
Laura, my dear sister, May 18th.
Happy birthday,
Aww.
Laura.
Ah, happy birthday, Laura.
who you've met, Robbie. You know
Who
my
I
sister.
have met
Yeah,
many
you know my
times.
sister. Yes, you
Yes.
have. Okay, let's jump into our poetry synopsis, starting with Robbie's poetry. Go ahead.
Yes, here we go. Here's my limerick for this week. Dax has Zentara and meets the host that came before. With Curzon Odo, she must settle a score. Nog nails his Starfleet test in spite of Quark's loud protest. Now both Dax and Odo appreciate things a whole bunch more.
That was good.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. I didn't know what to call Curzon or Odo, so I named it. I was going to say Curzodo.
Yes, you should have. You should
With
have.
Curzodo, she must settle a score. But then I didn't know
Curzoda,
if it would.
or Odo Curzon.
Odon.
Odon. Ozon. Could have been
Odon.
Ozon.
Ozon.
Odzon.
Odzon. Yeah.
That would have worked too. Okay.
How about a haiku?
Sure. Here's my haiku for facets. Dax must Jintara. Jadzia meets the seven. Rom stands up for Nog. There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, this is a really interesting episode be just because this ritual that we're talking about, Jintara, there's so many, as many hosts that you have, we have that many different pronunciations of that, of Jintara.
Of
Because it goes,
Zintara
yeah,
or
I'm
Jintara?
pronouncing it the way that Dax or Terry did it because she's in the whole episode. So
She's the
the
boss.
way Terry pronounced it was she zhuzhes it up, so it's Jintara. There, then when it goes to Quark, he says Jintara. He doesn't go zh, he goes Jintara. Then when the Trill dude comes up, or the Trill guidance guy, what is his name? He's a Trill guardian. He says Jantara. Okay, he goes Jantara, and then Sisko says Jantara with a J. So there's like seven different pronunciations of it, which is fine. Everyone can pronounce it whatever, however they want it. But I'm going to pronounce it the way Dax does, which is Jintara. And then Robbie
Jindara.
just did Zintara without the zh just now,
Well, it's
which
got a
is
Z, is how
does
it's
have a Z,
spelled.
but it has an H too. And then
Yeah.
True.
that's what I was going to ask you. Do you have the actual script in front of you? How is it spelled in the script?
It is
I'm
spelled.
really
Let's
curious.
see.
You must have spelled it how it's spelled. Zhinn
I think
apostrophe
so. Because
Tara.
on screen, when you hit, like when you're watching the episode and you want to do subtitles, they spell it Zhiann with an A in there and then TAR.
Zhiann apostrophe
Pardon me.
Tara is
Oh,
in the script.
okay. So in the script, there's an A there. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
So
which explains
why some
why
people are saying
Jeffrey Allen
Jean.
Chandler
It says
said
Jean. Yes.
Jean Tara.
John Tara.
That's right. Because he saw the A,
Well,
you know. So, all
I
right. It is what
have
it is.
slight issues, so I would say don't rely on me, but
Well,
for pronunciations, that's your world. Garrett, you're so good at that.
okay. Well, I'm going to just pronounce it the way your character did. So I'm
Yes,
going
you're
to,
the
since you're the
boss.
main character in this episode, pretty much, I'm going to say Jintara. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. But
Okay.
anyone can choose to pronounce it any way they want. Written by Renee Echevarria, directed by Cliff Bull. And Robbie, this is the very last episode that Cliff
I
directs of Deep
can't
Space
believe
Nine.
that.
What? No, you can believe it
Are
because
you
guess what?
sure?
Yes, because I'll tell you what happened. They moved him to Voyager because this is when he started coming to Voyager and just
He
directing
came to
a
Voyager a
ton.
lot. Yeah.
Yes.
Is he not with us anymore?
No, he is
No, he
not.
passed away.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
he
And it's Bull
retired.
without the S at the
Big
end.
teddy
Yeah.
bear of a man.
Twas.
Sweet, sweet man.
He was awesome. He got me
He
the
was.
opportunity to go shadow on the X-Files when they brought that show back to LA and they were filming over at Fox Studios. I got to go shadow an episode he was
What?
directing. Was he
That's
directing? No.
amazing.
He wasn't even directing, but he got me the connection
On the
there.
set.
Yeah, I think he was prepping or something, and I went and watched Kim Manners, who also was a legendary old school director, who did Supernatural for many years as a producing director till he passed away. So, and then when I did my first episode of Supernatural, it was about five episodes into the first season I came in. They didn't have a producing director, but Kim had directed a couple episodes before me, and they loved him so much that he came on in the middle of my episode while I was filming to take over the job of producing director, producer on Supernatural, and he
Supernatural.
stayed there for, I don't know, 5, 6 years. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's the
Cliff Bull.
connection
It
with
all
Mr.
comes back
Cliff
to Cliff
Bowl
Bull.
and the Cliffs of Bowl. They've named a geographical location in Star Trek on Cliff Bowl, the Cliffs of Bowl, which is very funny. Guest stars. Can we talk guest stars very quickly? All right. Let's talk about the Trill Guardian. That's played by Jeffrey Allen Chandler. Do you recognize him, Robbie, from a Voyager episode?
He looked familiar, but I can't place it. What was it?
Yeah, it was from Emanations, my season one big hurrah episode. He's the
Yeah.
alien that swaps with me inside of the, like, I take his place inside that little
That's
coffin and
right.
he escapes to the mountains. That's Jeffrey Allen Chandler. And believe it or not, he did Voyager first and then he did this episode. So the
Oh,
Voyager episode,
interesting.
yes, preceded and aired before this one did. I think the Voyager episode was March, a March airing, which means we would have filmed it much earlier than March, of
Yeah,
course, right? Yeah,
months
months
ahead,
before
yeah.
that. And then I think it was June, April, yeah, June, that this episode of Facets premiered. So we're talking a 3 month difference
Wow.
in time. But he did do Voyager before the DS9
Wow,
episode.
interesting.
Yeah. We also have Max Gredenschik as Rom, of course, Aaron Eisenberg as Nog, and Chase Masterson as Lita in this
Yeah,
episode.
she's
Yeah.
back for her second
She's
episode,
back for
right?
her
This is,
second episode.
yeah.
Yes. All right. So shall we just jump right into this episode right now? And
Let's do.
we're in a
Yes.
runabout. Nog is there. He's at the helm. Clearly, this is a simulation that he's running in the holodeck, and which we will learn a little bit later. But he is in the middle of a Cardassian attack. And what I find funny, Robbie, is Aaron decides to do this whole move thing where he's moving his body through the
He
whole
lean,
thing.
you know,
I,
it's
he's
evading one
leaning
way, but the camera should have
Yeah.
turned. The
With
camera should
him.
have tilted.
With him.
Right?
Cliff Bolt, come
Yeah.
on. You should have tilted the
Yes.
camera.
So
But
basically,
yeah.
they just,
So he
you
looks
know.
like he's flying. So we
Yes.
are tricked
So
too,
we're
thinking that
with,
he's really out there.
yes.
Yes, that would have helped.
But
Because it.
camera threw Aaron under the bus on this one. Aaron just left out to dry,
I
just doing
can't.
his little
Yeah.
moves. I'm like, what? Oh, so.
That was not on our shake tape that we were sent, by the
No, we
way.
didn't see
That,
that one. No,
no.
no. But the
We
funny
were
thing is,
experts by then.
yes,
I know, you were.
we were. As he's going through this simulation, all of a sudden we do see Jake pop up. Jake is standing outside of I guess
The
the
window, like
window
outside the
itself.
glass, yeah.
Yeah, and he's knocking on it.
Which, by the way,
Yeah.
do you remember on the set? Like the windows of DS9 didn't have glass in them, right?
Correct.
Right.
And neither did Voyager. We didn't have any glass in it. And
Yeah.
neither did our shuttles, honestly, like
Right.
because it would
No.
reflect the lights and things like
Yeah.
that.
Yep.
So when Jake comes and he knocks on the glass, I was like, oh, they put glass in for this scene because normally it
Yeah.
doesn't have
They needed
glass
it.
there. Yeah,
Right.
he
He
had
had
to
to have
knock
it.
on the
Right,
glass.
right,
Yeah.
right, right. Huh. Okay. So that's a rare time that any audience
Rare.
member will
Usually there's
see.
nothing there.
That's
Yeah.
correct.
Yeah.
Real glass. So Nog is upset.
Plexiglass.
Yes. Nog is upset that he's being interrupted by his buddy. He tells him to get out of here. He ends up ending simulation and he falls to the ground because he was sitting. And that's when Jake says, "Don't you know to never be seated when you end a holodeck simulation?" So he gets that. But he's trying to, the whole thing that, you know, we've learned is that he's trying to lower his reaction time so that he can get past. There's like a pre-exam that he has to take to even be
Yeah.
considered to take the Starfleet Academy entrance exam. So he needs to pass this first step. And so he's just trying to end it down. All this simulation work has dropped it down 20%. So he's doing better, but he needs another 5% for the cutoff. Jake is totally confident in him that he will get there.
Yeah. And he's trying to get these numbers up because there's like a summer he mentions to Jake in the as they walk to into Quark's Cafe.
Oh,
He
right.
talks about he's going to do this summer program.
Yeah.
That he's got to get into if he wants to qualify for the academy next year or
Right,
something.
right.
So there's a couple of stages of
Exactly.
this. Yeah.
He's motivated.
Yep.
He was also 30 minutes late to meet Jake, and
Quark.
that's why
Oh,
Jake
that's right. That's
interrupts
right.
him
Yes.
so that you know that's why he interrupted him.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's
That's right.
really so focused on this, he's not paying attention to Jake, which is saying a lot for how important this is to Nog.
Right, because
Yeah.
Jake is his best friend, so it's a big deal.
Yep. But they have plans to go have lunch or something, I guess. They're in Quark's, and then Quark walks up, and Quark is really frustrated. He's mad. He says, you know, Nog might get into the academy, but he makes a very bad stock boy.
Right.
And Quark even mentions even Jake's interest in writing is more profitable than being in Starfleet. And Quark offers to fund some kind of writing startup for them for a holodeck program.
A
He does.
salacious holodeck.
He mentioned.
What is he? Let's break this down. He is offering to fund them writing a holo porn program, is what
Yeah,
they say.
he
And
says
they're still in high
holosuite
school.
programs, especially the more intimate variety, are very profitable.
Yes.
So yes, he's going to fund it, and Nog says absolutely not. And Quark tells Rom to man tells Rom to man the bar, that he's been invited by Dax to some very important meeting he's got to go to. So that's how that scene ends.
Yeah.
Dax has a meeting. What's going to
Woohoo!
happen?
All right, so now we're in the corridor with Bashir and Odo. Their little walk and talk. Essentially, it's Dax who has invited the senior staff to the conference room to talk about something that's very important to Dax. So Bashir doesn't know what's going on. Odo doesn't know what's going on. They're just kind of walking and talking, but this is what the writers put in order to explain Lita's appearance there. Bashir says, apparently she asked Lita to come as well. And Odo goes, well, I've noticed they've been spending quite a bit of time together. So this, and the thing, what's so nutty is that we just met Lita within like what, a couple
In
episodes
one
ago?
scene.
Like, yeah, in one scene, like a couple of episodes ago. So it hasn't
Yeah.
been that long. So they're trying to explain this away that Dax and Lita became such tight friends. But the reality of the situation is that they were trying to get Rosalind Chow to do this part. So Rosalind was
Oh.
unavailable. Rosalind was
Oh.
unavailable. So they're like, quickly pivot.
Who do we
Chase
pick?
Masterson, let's grab. But yes, because three of your prior hosts are female. They gave one to Nana. They gave one to Armin because they thought that would add some comedic,
Which it
levity,
did.
which it did. And the
Yes.
third one, they said, let's give it to Rosalind Chow. Rosalind was working on another project. She was unavailable. She said, I can't do it. And they went with Chase. Because when I was watching the episode, I'm like, what is going on here? When
Out of
did Chase get
nowhere.
promoted?
I
Yeah, how did
love
they?
learning this news when the behind the
Yeah,
scenes
the
stuff
behind the
that you
scenes
don't know when
stuff.
it's happening. That's so
Exactly.
cool.
But that it explains how we all went, huh? Because when we heard about Lita
Yeah.
and saw Lita, all three of us were like, what's going on here? But now we
That
know.
happened fast.
Yes, very fast.
Yeah.
They're BFFs like that? I mean, how did that even, yeah.
Well, it worked to Chase's benefit to
Yeah.
help build her character
Yes, it
even more
did.
into the team. Yeah.
Absolutely. It did. But the end of that corridor scene, we basically have Bashir saying, do you keep tabs on everybody? And Odo goes, not everyone, but Doctor, two Delvin fluff pastries for breakfast this morning? You know better than that, of all people. So we now know that Odo keeps tabs on everybody and everything. And a nice little comedic little element at the end of that scene. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was nice. We go in the wardroom next where everybody's there. The gang is all there. And we learn that Dax is going to have her Jindara.
Yes, Jintara.
Yes.
Yes, I
And
am.
we do see a moment, a flirty moment with Bashir and Lita right up front.
Yes,
So they're
that is there.
tracking that.
Yep.
They're tracking that.
Yeah.
We learn about this Jintara ritual. It's a trill rite of closure,
Yeah.
Lita says. She's very well read on this. And I think, doesn't Bashir even mention at some point that she's an amateur sociologist or
Yes,
something?
exactly.
He's
Trying
very
to
impressed
elevate
with,
her just a little bit.
yes.
Yeah.
Again, trying to make the audience not go, what? Like,
Why is that Dabo girl? Yes. Well, Dax explains the ceremony to everyone that they're going to take on a personality of one of her hosts. And we also learned that they will be kind of aware as they have these personalities that they can, break through or whatever. Their real personality can
Yeah.
take
So they're
over at any
safe.
time. They're
If
safe.
they get
Okay.
overwhelmed, they
And
can,
yeah. And they
yeah,
can
have a
hear,
timeout.
correct? They can all hear what's happening. They know what's happening. Okay. They're aware of it. Okay. Yeah, before you go on, this just so you guys know, a little background info. This episode originated with Ira Stephen Bear's desire to do a version of the 1976 television movie Sybil. So Sybil was it was a movie about the psychological study of a woman played by Sally Field who, because of a traumatic childhood, suffered from an extreme form of multiple personality disorder and had at least 13 distinct different personalities. And Bear thought that this would be an interesting approach from where we could examine Jadzia Dax in a new light. He assigned Renée Echevarria to write the teleplay, but it was Renée who kept thinking, like, okay, I don't know how, because originally they weren't going to have the other people ha in you know
They were going to have
manifest.
Terry
They were going to
do
have
it?
Te yes, the original idea was Terry
Oh.
was going to do
Oh,
seven
that would have
different
been way
voices.
more fun.
It would have
It
been
would have been
way
way more
more
fun
fun. For
for
me.
you, but the problem is you can't interact with yourself, though. You see what I'm
No,
saying? So they
understood.
needed to separate you. And the minute that he suggested, hey, why don't we, utilize the other series regulars and have them manifest the different hosts, and then Jadzia can talk to them? That's when the light bulb went, oh, and then it changed right there. So that's the thrust of the script because of that.
Interesting.
Yeah,
It
but
would have been so much more fun, in my opinion, to see you do it, Terry, to see you playing all these different
yeah.
personalities.
Wouldn't that be
Yeah.
great?
And you could
Even
have
if it just
still
kind of
interacted with
bled out,
everybody.
like I
Yeah.
could, if it just affected me in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Dax explains how this is going to work, and everyone agrees. Everyone's in except for Quark. Quark does not want to do it.
No.
And as he's trying to leave, Dax sort of grabs him on his way out and starts to rub his lobes and whisper in his ear. Now,
So gratuitous.
Armin has,
You got to do whatever to work, to make it work,
Clearly,
right?
I guess.
Armin has described in the past that his earlobes are, the lobes are almost like his erogenous zone,
That's what
like
I
his
said. That's a
private
pleasure.
parts,
That's a pleasure center.
right?
Yeah.
So
Yes.
she basically grabbed his crotch
Yes, that's what I
on the way
said.
out.
In a way,
And
it, it's
wow.
I didn't grab it.
no.
No,
But it just
I
here's.
teased his
Yes, you
earlobes.
tease his earlobes, but if it was on a human character, if it was Bashir who said, "I'm not doing it," you essentially are rubbing his crotch through his Starfleet uniform before he leaves to make him stay. That's kind of what we're seeing, and it's just
That's
like,
what I felt. I
or
felt
it
very
could be
uncomfortable.
nipples,
It
right?
could be
Maybe
okay.
not the
Okay,
actual,
fine.
like,
May not
right,
be the
hot
roughly on
spot.
the
Okay. Okay, the hot
All
spot.
right.
Yes.
So it's just you taking Bashir and rubbing his nipple, going, "Please, Julian, stay." I mean, it's similar to that, and it's
It
a
just is
little
not
uncomfortable.
fair. It's not fair.
Yeah.
That's
Okay.
playing dirty.
I needed to manipulate him. I did. I
Yeah,
got
you
what I
did.
want.
We
So there.
understand.
Nah. And he did it.
And he did it, and it was very funny.
Oh my
We'll
goodness.
get there. We'll get there.
Dax says, "I really want you to be part of this. I'd hoping you would embody Audred for me." And she says, "I think it'll make us much closer." And he finally agrees. And then
Yeah.
when he leaves, I love how Sisko says, "Correct me if I'm wrong, but did Quark just agree to embody one of your female hosts?" And
I
they both
loved it.
laugh.
Oh, it was
Yes,
so cute.
so
funny.
Very cute. Very cute.
Okay, so next up we are in the holodeck, and Miles O'Brien is basically helping Nog out. He's trying to tell him, okay, this is what's going to happen with the test. And I'm gonna run you through the paces here. And O'Brien, while he's standing there talking to him, he's holding a pad. And on the pad, you can see it's still written, "Go away," from the episode
Oh
where,
no.
yes, where
No.
you guys remember this. This is when Bashir is flirting with Leeta, and then Dax walks up, and then Bashir types something in his pad and hands it to Dax, and it reads, "Go away." They never changed that pad. And the way he's holding it, it's turned
You
out
can
to
totally
camera. You
see
can read
it. I
it. It
thought there
still
was something written on it, honest to Pete, and I
says,
didn't
"Go
rewind
away."
to look at it.
Yeah, it still says it.
Go away.
They didn't take
That's
it. They
funny. Oh
reused it.
my
But
word.
what would have been smart is
They
someone would
just
have caught
grabbed
that.
it.
Well, just turn it around. Show the
But
backside. You
they
don't have to.
just grabbed it. No
They
one thought of
totally
it.
just.
You
No
know,
one
there
even
were a
thought
couple
about it. I bet that
episodes
happened a
ago,
lot more than.
I was wearing a ring a couple
You
episodes
caught
ago.
it? Oh my
I saw it and I
God.
thought, oh my
Oh, nobody said
gosh.
anything?
They
Oh
let
my
that
gosh.
go, Terry.
Yes.
Wow. I'm shocked.
Well,
I want to go back.
I kind of, when I saw it, I vaguely remembered the sick feeling in my stomach of like, I can't say anything now. By the time I realized it, it was like, shit, we've moved on to the next stage.
Let's call
Take the ring
Ira
off
right
and shut
now.
up.
Let's
Oh my God, no way.
Hey, Ira.
Everybody has things like that. Or, yeah.
But didn't
My
they
God. Or
just,
that, the pad.
they used to just print out like on stickers, basically, something to put on the pads
Right.
that was, you know, if they needed something specific. It wasn't a real electronic device. It was a
No, it
piece
was
of wood.
just a
No.
practical little piece of sticker. That's all it was.
Plastic.
Yeah, it wasn't visual effects, no CGI. It was just that's it. But they didn't change it for this scene. They
Just like the
clearly just gave him
toys.
that. Yeah.
Whoopsie.
The ring thing just reminded me, Terry, when I was filming in New
Yeah.
Mexico, I was
Yeah.
building the railroad in the 1800s, and the Chinese railroad workers are
You're
putting in
older than I thought.
charges. Thank you. They're
Yeah.
putting in explosive charges in these tunnels, and they had to run out. And in the scene that we're running out, Christian Christian Kane is in the movie, is in the episode with me. He's running ahead of me. No, I'm running ahead of him. And what happens is I forgot I have my cell phone in my wardrobe pocket. And as we're running, it flew up out of my pocket in midair. Okay, this is the 1800s. And Christian Kane sees it and catches it midair and keeps running like that. And
Oh
at
my
the end, he
gosh.
was like, dude, you're going to get into
What
so
the
much trouble
heck?
with the director. There's no cell phone in 1872 or whatever you see another year it was. But he saved my ass that he caught my cell phone in midair. So.
That's
They didn't
funny.
use that take though. That would have been really weird to see that pop up and he catches it.
Yeah, they couldn't use it.
No, they
That's
couldn't
like,
use it. But the director had
no.
no idea that that had happened. He just saw a weird blur. He's like, "What's going on?" Because it was dark inside the cave, right? He didn't clearly make it out.
Oh.
But he said, "Let's just do another one just for safety." We're like, "Thank God, thank you."
Oh my
Yeah,
goodness.
almost got in trouble. Yeah, the go away, very, very funny that I saw that there. I started laughing my butt off. I'm like, oh my God, they forgot to shut up. That's from a prior episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clearly that would be no longer on the screen any longer at this point, right? And I love the look at the end when I think Nog gives O'Brien this funky look. I don't know if you noticed that either, Robbie. It was just this where he's trying to tell him, you got to do this, you got to do that. And he gets this really weird look. I don't know exactly what it
I think
was.
he was just totally stressed out.
Was
Is
that what it
this
was?
the,
It's the
yeah, he was
stress
been giving a tat.
reduction,
Yeah, he's getting, he,
test.
yeah. How do you handle stress? Is he had a stress test, basically. So he was upset because it was different than all of the programming he'd been working on.
So it was that kind of look like, are you really doing this to me? Kind of look is what it was, right? I'm stressing out. Well, good look by Aaron, though. It was believable.
Nice little scene. And at the end, when the place shakes and the alarm goes off, and Nog says, "What is it? What's happening?" And O'Brien says, "You tell
You tell
me."
me.
Nog goes to work. He's like, "Okay, I'm gonna
I thought,
take you."
good teacher.
Yes. Yeah. We go out to an airlock real quick. A guardian arrives from Trill. This is the guardian who's there to perform the ceremony. He does mention in this scene that they've been trying to get Dax to return to their home world for this ritual for years, and she just has never wanted to do it, and so they head off to make preparations. So
I was busy.
Yeah, she
I
just said
was
she didn't say
sure.
she didn't want to. She just said I haven't had time, is what she says.
And
Cisco
Avoiding.
says you could have made the time.
So there is some avoidance happening here. Okay.
Yeah, she's been avoiding it a bit.
All right, so now we go to I guess, are these Dax's quarters? Are we in Dax's quarters?
I think we're in guest quarters. I
Guest
think it's
quarters.
his quarters.
Okay, his quarters. All right. Wherever they've set up for this ritual to happen. They're in those quarters, and he starts speaking. Would that be
Trill?
Trill? That's
I
got to
think
be
so.
Trill language. We understand none of it except for when he says Jadzia. So he'll say a bunch of stuff, and we don't know. And then Jadzia, and then we're like, oh, we know that. And then he goes through this whole thing, and it's basically He is the conduit between Dax and Kira, and we see what looks like the essence of, because it's supposed to be memory implant, but we see almost like a smoky kind of
Energy or
energy thing that
something.
transfers in through the guardian, through his face, and it right into Kira's body, into her head, and she opens up her eyes, and guess what? She is Leela, and I do like. I almost feel like she was sort of channeling to me like an older woman from like a black and white movie, basically. Like a 1940s film is what I got from Nana on this one. Yeah, it was really, for me, I enjoyed this episode a lot just to watch all the different actors do their thing as a different person, which was very
Yeah, that was
exciting to see.
fun. That was fun.
Yeah, it really
Well,
was.
when she comes out with her 1940s movie star voice, the guardian decides to test her on her memories to make sure this worked right. And Leela says she remembered Curzon, and he asks who supervised Leela as an initiate, and she remembers it was Jobel. And so he says, well, this works. Everything seems good. So he takes off. He leaves. And we learn that Leela's walking around with her hands behind her back. Dax mentions, hey, I do the same thing. I walk with my hands behind my back. And Leela explains, well, she started doing it when she was a politician because all the male politicians originally made fun of her because she was so animated with her gesturing. And so she decided to put her hands behind her back, be more formal. And that's why Dax does this. So, Dax is learning a little about where these things came from, that there's a reason for it, that it's not just a random quality that she has, but it comes from one of her prior hosts. And Leela says that's the point, to find out who you are and why, or why you are the way that you are.
It's a discovery period, is what it is. All right, so next we jump over from the Leela scenes to Chief O'Brien. I have to say, the more that I watch Colm Meaney and the projects he happens to act in, most recently I binge watched all of Hell on Wheels, and Colm is all throughout that episode, throughout that series. What a great job. And here, this character, oh my gosh, as he's playing Tobin, he starts off by biting his nails. Dax is like, hey, I don't think that Chief O'Brien's going to be happy about you chewing or biting his nails. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he's like, okay, I'm a little nervous. And they go through this whole bit where he keeps apologizing. Dax is like, look, you don't have to say sorry. And he says it again. The three comedy comes in threes. Very, very funny. Dax does get a little into the nitty-gritty of geekdom, of nerdiness, and talks about Fermat's last theorem, about finishing the proof for Fermat's last theorem, and that praising him for the work that he did on there, and that Dax is actually trying to further his work to finish it off. Tobin then stops his nervousness because now he's engaged and into what he loves. But I do love Colm Meaney's interpretation of Tobin. It was very simple but yet
Do you
elegant.
remember shooting this with Colm? Terry?
Yeah, I kind of do remember shooting this episode.
Yeah. It looked like this would be a lot of fun because he was just playing such a n nervous, nerdy, like so different than we've seen Colm be on the show. I would imagine it was a fun little scene.
I love working with him, no matter what it was. I just really enjoyed him as a person. And yeah, he didn't take it too seriously. And I think part of that quality of being relaxed, I think, helps you really do a much better job.
Agreed.
Armin has said that Colm and Sid both would come in to work each day having not studied their lines, and that they would learn them literally on the day.
Yeah, that was frustrating though, honestly, because that was really hard. I'm trying to learn my lines by myself, and I look forward to rehearsal to just get them down. Okay, so I'm in the get them down phase where I've got it pretty much in my head. I just need to hear it out loud. And but then when that person doesn't know their lines, you're like, Oh shoot. No, I now I don't. Oh, I need to hear what you're saying.
Scary.
I
Yeah, it's
mean, because it's
scarier.
not a film. We don't have like all day to shoot this one scene and see how we feel and try another shit. We only have a little bit of time because we have 8 other pages to get done.
So
So
it's a little
that part's a little
inconsiderate.
frustrating. It
To
feels a
you, to
little
you,
unprofessional.
to for you, because you're
Do you
expecting them
remember?
to be off book, right? To help you.
Or at least be where I'm at, where we're like at
You're
least, okay, we've.
almost about to get it.
Yeah, because I didn't live with someone, so there's nobody there running lines with me.
I would have ran lines with you on the phone.
Oh,
Oh,
that's
I
so
would
nice of
have.
you.
You could have
Oh my
asked me. I totally
God.
would have.
If I get a TV series again, I will
Will
definitely call
call
you to
me?
ask
I
you to
will be
run
the
a
line
line.
guy. I
Yeah.
love running lines. That's one of my favorite little guilty small pleasures
I'm
in
not
life.
surprised.
Okay, fine.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, where are we right now?
I just found it frustrating that when Lita finally comes on, they didn't say Emily's name.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They
I mean, I
didn't.
watched it careful twice and I thought she's the only one they didn't say her name.
Did they talk about Emily in the conference room, though, in the first meeting at all?
I don't think
No.
so now.
I can't
So
remember.
there's no mention of Emily.
Well, just her name, right? I mean, they did describe, I mean, she did play Emily, but we didn't say her name, and it was frustrating to me. Because until
Interesting.
I saw our notes here, thank you, Robbie, I was like, oh, write it down, Emily, from your notes.
Emily. It's in the
Yeah.
script. It's in the original script as
Don't have
well,
the script.
but
They're
it's
in a
never
landfill in
mentioned. You're right.
Pennsylvania.
And the audience, when you're watching
Sorry.
it, you don't get the script. So somebody needs to say that name. You're absolutely right. You know what else somebody else needs to do is not have the gymnastics double turn to camera so that you can see that it's clearly not Chase Masterson. Because when that the gymnast like tumbled, did
Oh, when
a
she did the handstand
then
into
she
a
turned,
somersault?
yeah, but then she turned to
Yes,
camera,
she
and we know
turned to
it's not
camera, and I'm like,
her.
that's not
No.
Chase Masterson.
And if you
I was gonna ask Chase, how the f did you do that? Because that
No. Well,
hurts
she
my back looking at that.
No, that wasn't.
Well, clearly, as the scene progressed, she's stretching in the foreground. She's doing other kind of
She does
aerobic,
a kick. She does a
acrobatic.
high kick,
Does a
which is,
kick. She, I don't know why they couldn't have had Chase just do something normal that's
But here's the deal.
why
You
did
don't
you
need a
need to do a
double.
somersault?
No. But if you're gonna have her turn towards camera, at least have the hair match exactly. And it didn't. The hair
Now
was
I'm going to
not at
watch it
all.
again.
That made me mad. I'm like, why is the
I
hair
think I was too obsessed about why aren't we saying her name?
that you didn't even notice that part?
No, they didn't say her name. That's what I was focused on.
Well, Emily's in her dialogue, she says, "Oh, I love this body you've given me." She says, she can do all these gymnastics. And we learned that when she was joined, that it improved her concentration. And now she knows Klingon martial arts. So Emily, we learn, was really into like the physical side of Dax,
Well,
the
right. She wasn't a
coordination,
Klingon martial arts. Dax is. Right.
Oh,
Just how you
Dax
said that,
is.
it
Oh,
sounded
I
a little
see.
confusing. Yeah, no. So Emily is the gymnast.
And so Emily had
Period.
the gymnast period, and now that she's joined with Dax, she's experiencing the Klingon martial arts through Dax. I see. I thought it was the other
Well,
way.
I don't think that she discusses the no, because she is pre-Kurzon. And Kurzon,
That's
Dax,
right.
Kurzon is where Dax learned all, or Jadzia Dax learned all of her stuff about the Klingons.
I see.
And then I think it was
Yes.
Jadzia's passion to get into the martial arts. I don't think that Kurzon was into the martial arts. I think these are ideas that helped It's all of these elements of the different
hosts.
Hosts, thank you, of Dax that have helped Jadzia start to become her own version of all of these people.
Okay.
That it all kind of gets into a melting pot, and now Jadzia is a different person than she was before she got the symbiont because of all of their experiences.
That makes more sense to me now, because Emily's saying, I've learned from your later hosts things that I didn't know. So it's kind of like Dax is learning about where she came from, and Emily is learning about where she went to, like what happened after.
Okay.
So it's kind of like this joining is kind of teaching, giving them experiences in both directions.
I think if you watch this scene again, she doesn't talk about the martial arts. Just Jadzia does.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have the memories of the other hosts once they're standing there. They're in their own entity.
Okay, the other stuff is gone.
That makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. Next on deck would be Quark. Quark as Audred. And okay. All right, this scene proves to me that it's not just Dustin Hoffman, Tyler Perry, that can play a woman. It's Eddie Murphy. Other than those three actors, clearly Armin Shimerman can also play a woman quite well. I thought he did a really good job, to be honest, as Audred.
He was very good.
Yes,
and he was very sweet.
He was very sweet, and you could really see it. It was very palpable because he's the only character who stops in the middle of it to say, how much longer is this going to be? So, and you hear the real Armin voice at that point, the real, you know, Quark voice.
Yeah. Yes. Quark voice.
Quark voice, excuse me. You see the real Quark voice. You hear the real Quark voice in comparison to Audred, and you see the difference, you know, the sweetness and the brash sort of
brunt. It's very funny. It was very, and it's like Quark
he's talented,
could not stand
talented
it.
Man.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. No, he couldn't.
He could. Quark was just miserable having to play Audred.
Yes. Well, it's funny because he interrupts after saying, there's nothing like nursing a baby to your breast. And right after that story, he's like, how much longer? I don't want to hear this. He's out. He wants to get out.
It's very funny.
He wants to get out.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
We go to the next scene and we meet Tarius.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn that Tarius, played by Bashir, is very reckless. We learned that he died young in an accident.
Yeah.
Dax says, don't eat so much junk food. He's grabbing handfuls of whatever those things are, the treats, which is interesting because Odo mentions Bashir's eating extra donuts. And now here Tarius is eating. So it's kind of connecting both of them. Like which one is eating too much?
Bashir.
But Bashir, exactly.
But look at him. He needs to. He burns calories like boop.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And you know what? I think Tarius, I thought it was Tobin. I guess I got confused. He was a fighter pilot. I mean, a test pilot.
Yeah. Tarius is or Tobin? Tarius.
Yes.
Okay.
Tarius. I thought it was Tobin, but I'm guessing now it has to be Tarius because also
because of the
Tarius,
accident.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Accident. Widows, we're going to see her soon.
Yeah.
In the next couple episodes coming up.
Okay.
And I wanted to add though, he sounds like he's also in like a 40s movie, kind of this brash,
swashbuckling
kind of guy.
But yeah, I have to say, I mean, now that I know that he's a test pilot, pilots are very, very confident and cocky and brash like that. So I think that I really do feel that Sid did a great job in this character. And yes, it is a little 40 sounding, but I felt that the way Sid did Tarius sounds very much like what I thought Curzon was going to sound like. Okay.
Ah.
I thought Curzon was going to be confident, brash, and not as comedic and kind of comical and sort of.
Oh.
We haven't gotten there yet, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, in advance, I felt that this interpretation of Tarius to me is what I thought Odo
Curzon was gonna
bring as Curzon. Exactly.
Yeah. I understand.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And I wasn't saying the 40s thing as a criticism. I like it. I like that
you did enjoy
everybody seemed to be in different periods because they are from a long time ago.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they can have an affected voice.
They aren't from the same time. Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next,
bum,
next,
bum,
dun, dun, bum. Next up, we're in Odo's office. We're in the security office. Sisko shows up. He's ready to go, but Odo's not totally convinced that this is a good idea because of the fact that Jaron has had a murderous past, but not a serial killer past. A murderous past, and he says it's okay, we're gonna have him inside of a holding cell. He's not gonna be able to hurt anybody. But Odo's like, yeah, but you will be there. He will be inside of your body, basically his memories. So there's a little danger involved is the way that they mm-hmm. set this up with this scene.
And then we go into the transfer with the Guardian and Dax inside the cell with Sisko. Mm-hmm. But when his head drops down like Kira's did when the entity took over,
right.
They kind of creep out, they turn on the force field, and that's when we hear Jaron for the first time say, yeah. "Hello, Jadzia," in his creepy voice. Yes.
Yeah.
He did feel like a serial killer.
Yeah. Too much.
Yeah, I was thinking, what, fava beans and Chianti?
Yeah, it was very much like that. But if this is the reshoot, I want to see the dailies.
Version.
This is the tame version. The super serial killer version is in dailies, which we never got to see, which I would love to see.
Oh, that, yeah, it'd be interesting.
Almost inaudible whisper of a voice, which is like, ah, it's scary.
Yeah.
But if you notice, they really push the whole horror movie thing, because listen to the music in the background. The music mm-hmm. is all amped up and everything. So even I feel like everybody was on the wrong page, because the correct page would have been watch the episode where we see Jaron for the first time.
This was a whole different character.
This is a whole different guy. It's like, who is this guy? That guy was like, he was in the music academy. I mean, he was musical. He was a good guy to begin with. But the minute he found out they were going to take the trill away from him, that's when he killed the doctor who was saying that he had to be, you know, whatever it was, the guy that was in charge of trill assignments, whoever he killed died because of that. It wasn't because he was trying to murder everybody. But now in this episode, clearly Jaron, it comes
he
off
seems
as
like
someone,
a serial killer.
He's a serial killer. He's killed many, 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 many people. And all he cares about is violence and death. That's what we're hearing. And the music went that way too. So
what it looked like.
Yeah, it bothered me.
It's like, oh my God.
Well, he says he gets really creepy. He talks about how she's so pretty. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's so like pretty, all but she is.
That's all she is. Exactly. She'll never be anything compared to the other hosts.
Which is exactly the whole creepy Hannibal Lecter thing with Clarissa or Clarice. What was her name? That Jodie Foster
Clarice,
played.
Yeah.
But he was too. He was trying to tear her down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah, very similar. He even says, lower the force field. I'll help you. I'll help you, realize your potential. I'll teach you about my strength, which again is not this music teacher. It's not the same character at all.
No.
I'm surprised they didn't use him to sing a little something or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he sings beautifully.
Right.
And
but
that would have been a way to like lower your guard down to if he would just add a little more dimension to him.
Yeah. I feel like even if they do go with this, I feel if it began with serial killer idea, if it began nice, like a lot of serial killers are. They are serial killers and successful ones because they're so nice and so charming and personable that their victims are unaware of what's about to happen to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the beginning when the Guardian says, Odo says, if you need me, I'll be right outside. And Jaron says, it's good to see you again, Jadzia. If it was just normal, it was like, it's good to see you again, Jadzia. Tell me, have you been practicing your music? If it was light, if it wasn't creepy. And Dax is like, yes, when I have the time. He's like, and then his response could have been, good. Do you think of me when you play? Instead of being like, do you think of me when you play? It's like, what is that, right? It could have been very, very light until the pretty part, right? So if he said, I'm glad, you're a very pretty girl. Jadzia, very, very pretty, but unfortunately, That's all you are. And so if it started gently into that, the negative, then I think I would have bought it more.
Yeah,
but it
Avery
started.
Went. He dove in the deep end right from the top.
Right from the beginning, from the hello, Jedzia. He was already yeah. serial killer guy. Don't show serial killer guy in the beginning. Have that come out a little bit and then nail it at the end. But
well, then
the
he goes crazy, starts banging his head against the force field trying
oh
to get out.
Oh my gosh,
holy
that
crap.
Was super
wham,
upsetting.
Wham. Yeah. Oh yeah,
and then Dax, and then you were like,
I'm like, don't
you know,
hurt
Benjamin's
him.
Yeah, don't yeah. hurt Benjamin. Benjamin, come out. So you call for Benjamin, and then he tricks you. He acts like Cisco for a minute and says, "Oh, I think I've had enough of Geron for now." So she lowers the force field, and he grabs her by the throat.
Yeah, still Geron.
And Dax has to give him some Klingon martial arts.
Yeah,
yeah,
takes him out pretty quick.
I got
quick.
Busy. I got and busy. I knocked him out.
What did you think of this double?
Fail. Another fail in stunt double.
Another fail.
Not on Jedzia Dax stunt double, but definitely on Cisco. Because this guy, how tall is Avery Brooks? Would you
He's
say
probably almost
6 foot?
6'1". 2, 6'1", 6'2". Yeah. This stunt double dude was like 5'8". 5'7". Okay.
Yes.
So the stunt double
looked like he was about 18 years old. He
yes,
looked
so
like a young person.
Yeah.
And was that me in all of it? It looked like there was somebody
no,
else.
That's someone else.
A couple
there.
Of times.
Yeah, yeah. You had a stunt double as well. Both of you had stunt doubles. And
I mean,
like
it
you
doesn't
said,
always happen. So it's weird because you could see her face then.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like they showed the face of the stunt double
yeah.
for Lita, right? They showed the face of the other one, and
it
clearly
was
it's not your face.
Far enough away, I thought it was a pretty good sell, though.
Yeah.
It was okay on your side. It
good.
Was fine.
It was okay.
The match was okay, but the Avery match was
but
horrible.
Terry, you're also taller than your stunt double. So my feeling is you're the stunt double in this shot, because you're, what are you, 5'10 or 11? What are you exactly?
Six feet.
6 feet. Sorry. So you're 6 feet. Excuse me. Your stunt double. Okay. Your stunt double is 5'9". Okay. Avery's stunt double was 5'6". That's what was going on. There was like both were short.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
And
that must
Robbie's
have been like
right.
they couldn't get our people because
clearly.
That's a Dennis thing. Because
yeah.
our stand-ins were our height and we could
yeah.
have. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, your stand-ins are going to be the same
started.
Height, right? Yeah, the stand-ins
yes.
will be the same height, but the doubles were totally off. And Robbie was right. When I'm, even though I'm seeing the back of this Avery Brooks stunt double, he clearly looks like he could be Avery's nephew. Okay, I mean, this is
yeah,
like
a
young dude.
Young kid.
Yeah, young kid.
Yeah.
Did a good job in fighting, but
yeah.
again,
oh, yeah.
not believable in terms of stunt doubles.
And matching.
And matching. Yes.
Yeah.
It pulls you out. It does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But she throws Cisco down on the floor with her martial arts moves, and Cisco finally snaps out of it, and he says, "Thanks for not breaking my bones."
I like
so,
that. That was sweet,
yeah,
too.
Nice little button there.
See
yeah.
how nice I am.
You were very nice. But the end scene was weird, too, the button on it, because Jedzia's very, like, laughing it off almost too casually. It was almost like this, after all that craziness, I feel like Cliff could have said like, okay, you got to step back. Like you just went through hell. You should be like shocked. But it was almost like, oh, it was almost sitcom-y. It was like, oh, it's funny. Let's go. Let's move on to the next
It went
scene.
So deep. It went so serial killer that it felt like, yeah, that you, it's hard to jump out of that.
It's hard to get out of that, right?
Well, we go to Quark's next. And I love Quark is working at the bar. And we see Rom popping his head out from behind a column or something.
Oh,
he just
it was so
pops
cute.
His head out looking up.
So cute.
Up at the hall
We don't
of suites.
See him for the longest time either. It's like
no,
a scene
no.
going on. And then suddenly.
It's very funny. Yeah. The framing.
He's very anxious about Nog's tests up in the hall of suites. he does show Quark that he bought him a uniform, a Starfleet uniform. And Quark says, well, that's a waste. He'll get one of those if he gets in.
He didn't just buy it. It was made to order by Garrick, which is even more expensive.
That's right.
Yeah.
Five strips of Latinum it cost him.
A lot. Wow.
Yes. So Rom is clearly supporting Nog in this. Very proud of him. Very excited. Quark is not. Quark does not like this at all.
This is not important, but it's going to drive me insane.
Yes.
Do you guys know how much a strip of Latinum would be to us?
No. Value-wise, you mean? No.
Yeah.
What is it? Is there? Do you know the answer to this?
I do not. I'm actually asking because I'm thinking we talk about Latinum like, wow, it's a lot. But how did Rom get five pieces of it if it's so much money and he's just a waiter?
Mm, he's more than a waiter. He's the manager. Kind of thing, right? Isn't he?
Yeah,
Well, a bar of latinum is a lot, but a strip. So
is less.
I'm looking at a
Okay.
bar of latinum is worth 200 credits. One strip of latinum is worth 10 credits, and a slip of latinum with an SLIP is
Oh.
worth 1/10 of a credit.
So he spent 50 credits then on the
Yes.
okay, 10,
Does it
10.
say what 50 credits would be for us?
Oh
It
no.
just kind
Oh,
of,
I hate it when they get
we
that
wouldn't know
close, but
that.
it's like,
We wouldn't know
a
that.
strip of latinum would equal $50, someone says, they think.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
what did he
So,
say?
what did he
Five
say?
strips?
Yeah, so it's $250 is what he paid for
That
the
makes sense.
for a custom made, something. Okay. I could see
Back in
that. Okay.
1995.
That's still, yeah, in 95, that's a lot, right? So can you do the equivalent of what is $250 in 1990, in 1995?
If you bought an Armani suit at that time, it would be about
Yeah.
$1,500, $2,000. So maybe the latinum's worth more.
Maybe. 250 in 1995 is worth $524.60 today.
Okay, that's
Oh,
again, that's a
wow.
lot.
Well, we go to the upper level of the promenade now,
Okay.
and we see Dax and Cisco up there. Cisco asks if Dax had avoided her ceremony because she thought that she wouldn't measure up. He's got some insight into her
Right.
at this
Okay.
point, and she says, "Well, maybe." Dax wonders, always wondered why Curzon kicked her out, washed her out of the initiate program. She always thought it was to make her work harder, but now she's doubting herself. She's not sure. Maybe Curzon did not believe in her. So, but Sisko's pushing her to, to face Curzon and ask him the question, basically.
She has a chance to now, which
Yeah,
is great.
you got a chance.
We go back to the guest quarters, and now it's Odo's turn, but the guardian is there, and as the ritual continues, we see the essence of Curzon leave Dax, go through the guardian, and end up in Odo. When it does end up in Odo, now things start changing. Odo's hair changes. He gets the spots on the side. He's basically a cross between Odo and Curzon, is what he is, which is very interesting to see this. It was a cool transformation, I thought.
That's a cool idea that
Yeah,
because he's
he
a
has a different
shapeshifter.
nose too.
Yeah.
His head
Yeah.
got wider. His
Yeah, yeah,
head
yeah.
was
The width
literally
of his
wider.
face is wider. So all these changes are happening.
Yeah, so we're back in Sisko's quarters now, and Odo is half Curzon, half Odo. And he thinks maybe it's his shapeshifter body. Maybe that's why this happened. But his personality is very different than Odo. He's smiling. He's kind of, very talkative and
Gregarious.
gregarious. Yes. And Odo's in Sisko's quarters. Jake is there as well. And then Odo starts asking, or Curzodo.
Curzotto. I love that. It sounds like a dessert.
It
Can I
does.
have another helping of
Sounds
Curzotto?
delicious.
Yes.
Yum.
But Curzotto asks about Cassidy Yates to Sisko, and Jake thinks that's very funny. And he's very friendly, very upbeat and talky. And then he starts to ask Sisko about another woman that Benjamin had known in the past. And that's when Sisko grabs him and drags him out. It doesn't want to get into this in front of his son. So it
Like,
was very funny. Very
yeah.
funny. And Curzon is drinking right away. He starts
Yeah.
pouring himself a drink, and yeah.
Let me read this little background bit here for both of you. Neither Renee Echevarria nor Ira Stephen Bear was overly happy with how Curzon came across in this episode. According to Echevarria, quote, "If I had to do it over again, I would have been more careful about his character. He was almost always drinking or talking about drinking," end quote. Bear, for his part, says, quote, "The way Curzon came across was by no means the way I saw the character. I saw him as kind of a bon vivant. Instead, he was like Shecky Curzon, a wacky, funny guy." So You know,
I thought he would be more elegant too. Also, by remembering the man who played him early first season, I thought he was like a gentleman, and if like more like Hemingway in that kind of like a man's man, like he would go on safari kind of
A
man. And he'd have a
Renaissance man,
drink.
Renaissance man, or a jack of all trades.
Renaissance.
Somebody who knows a little bit of
Yes.
everything, has some class and elegance, right? And
Yes.
he's not the most interesting man of the world in this episode. He's definitely a little, to me, it
He
seemed like he
doesn't
was
seem
drunk for a
serious
lot of the
enough.
time. He was drunk a lot of it. Yeah, not into it. Yeah,
But he
and
was
not
the big
serious.
diplomat too, who helped ease situations. He was the guy who came in and got the two countries to talk to each other kind of person.
So the whole fact that Odo is the only one who's combined with the host, with Curzon, right? So we're sorry, Curzotto, or what do we say?
Curzotto. Yeah,
What
say it
was the
like
other
it.
one? What was the other one? Oz,
Oddson.
Odzon, or Curzotto. I like Curzotto. So he's the only one that's melded together, which immediately gave me shades of Tuvix, Robbie. I mean, I felt, oh my
Oh,
goodness,
yeah.
these are two characters that have completely merged and they want to stay together. They don't want to be separated. And similar storyline here. Later we
Yeah.
learn he doesn't want to be separated. But I thought about that initially. But I just
Oh,
wanted to read
yeah.
to both of you very quickly about
But remind
how.
me of this happened first.
What?
That's true. Maybe they
Just
got the
saying.
Tuvix idea from this. Maybe.
Very possible.
Maybe.
So to achieve Odo's new look after he embodies Curzon, Michael Westmore got a photograph of actor Frank Owen Smith, who's already been established as Curzon before we saw that, and he basically digitally morphed Frank's face onto the Odo makeup. And so that's what we have. We
Oh,
have,
interesting.
yes, the actual actor playing Curzon, who maybe we saw for what, Terry, like 5 seconds. We didn't see a very
Not
long,
long.
yeah, very quick. But they took his face and just morphed it onto Odo's face, and that's what we have. And the neutral
Interesting.
spots. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Very cool.
Next, we're in Quark's. Yes, Curzon and Sisko are sitting at the bar. Odo leans over. I love when he leans over, grabs Quark by the ears, basically. Everybody's grabbing his ears and pulls him forward and kisses him on the head. So, very different than the Odo we've seen. Quark is in shock. Quark, I love Armin's performance in this whole sequence. He's just constantly like, what the hell is happening? He's
Oh
very funny.
yeah. Yeah.
But Dax arrives, and I love this moment where Curzon decides to switch his clothes because he's a shapeshifter, so he just changed clothes. I must have looked at that VizFact 3 or 4 times. I kept going back because I was like, that was good. How did they
Wasn't it
lined that up
seamless? For
seamless?
I'm sorry, for
Seamless.
1995, that was amazing. It was so
It
good.
was. It was great. Very cool effect.
But you know, it's interesting. It didn't he say in a prior scene, I'm going to mess with that little toad. He says something like that before they go to Quark's bar. He says,
Yes.
I'm going to do that. But yet, looking back at the script, I don't see that line anywhere. I was like, where did that line go? Maybe it got
Maybe he
reached.
ad-libbed.
Maybe he
Maybe because of
ad-libbed.
this drunk character he's playing, he was
Maybe
just
there was a
dealing with.
script change that you
Yeah,
didn't
that never
see.
got into this
Yeah,
version.
it could have
So.
been
But you guys remember that,
on
right? He
stage
says, I have
change.
something for this toad, because I thought he was going to pick on Quark. But instead, he did the exact opposite. He grabs him, like what you said, Robbie, he grabbed him by the ears and kisses him and compliments him. He says, you're a magnificent scoundrel. And he orders two Tranyas. He says, two Tranyas, please. Very cold. Tranya has been established before in the original series. In the original series, Baylock orders a Tranya, or gives somebody a Tranya. So a Tranya is already in Star Trek from the episode Corbomite Maneuver. That's where it appears.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a little trivia for you.
I also liked that they connected these stories in this scene because Sisko, when he leaves, he says, "You know, I need to go finish evaluating Nog's test results." He's waiting to hear how he did, and he leaves. But I like that they kind of connected them; that it didn't feel like totally separate storylines.
There's another scene later where, as we open in Quark's, you're seeing Kira and Avery, or Kira and Cisco and Jake all at a table and Ezra moving. And I thought, I really like it when it's when the series regulars are also background players sometimes, so that you're feeling like you're really in the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was in
it fills it all out.
That was the beginning of this Quark scene, right? They start on the darts with O'Brien and Sid, and they kind of pan over.
Yep,
and you see
they
everyone.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Only there's a scene later where there is no dialogue between. We don't hear the dialogue between Cisco
and Kira. That's where they're waiting for Nog to come in and celebrate. Is
yes.
That
yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. But it's nice when background. They open. Yeah, yeah, they were literally just background players.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, Dax wants to ask Curzon something. Clearly, it's important. We kind of have an idea what she wants to talk to him about. But then Kurzoto sees a Ferengi Tongo hustler off in the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's got to go clean him out.
So
Dax does not get to ask her.
No. No, Dash is like my one like she tries so hard to get that question out. It's not happening.
He's an avoidance.
Totally.
He knows what he's doing though. I think he really knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does. And he also knows how to play tango because he kicks the poop out of all those Ferengi that are sitting there at that tango game.
Where do you think I learned how to play so well?
From him.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's already been established. So I love the tracking there because we've already talked about Dax knowing how to play tango so well from Curzon. So very good. Very good.
Yeah, we see them. We see a little time cut and we see that it's late, that the bar is shut down, but this game is still going on in the background. And then the camera moves forward to see Nog and Rom talking, and Nog can't believe he didn't get in. He didn't pass the test.
Pass that test.
How could he have failed? He just it doesn't make sense to him. Mm-hmm. And Quark is very gentle with him, very understanding, unusually so, because Rom clocks it. Rom, you see Rom. Going, wait a minute.
Rom was like, something's
Quark
going on.
So nice, because Quark's like, it's, you know, it's not fair. Starfleet has no idea what they're passing up.
Yeah.
You would have made a good officer, but this place will always be here for you. And Rom's very suspicious.
Rom knows his brother. He knows what his brother is up to something. And he, we see it on his face for sure. Okay. We are now in the security office and Odo is now pouring another drink. Kurzoto starts by saying, I confiscated this from a Eurydian smuggler. And Dax immediately says, don't you need that for evidence? He's like, and he starts pouring it out to drink. And it's like, what police officer would grab something from evidence and use it for themselves? Nobody, unless you're a dirty cop, right? So he's kind of like, I don't know. He's on the edge here. We don't know what's going on. Where is this?
Well, this is where Dax finally asks Curzon the question.
Oh, yes, that's right.
She finally says, you know, did you not believe I was good enough? Did you think I just wasn't smart enough or good enough for to be a host?
Right.
And he says, you know, I felt sorry for you. And she says, well, now she's going to feel like when you return inside of me, that I'm, if you didn't believe in me, I'm not going to believe in myself. You're part of me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have your respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he says, I'm not going to go back in, you know, I'm not going to return to your body because Odo and I both want to stay right where we are.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. Surprise.
Shades of Tuvix.
Yeah. But he's drunk already at this point because he's already had drinks in the bar and now he's drinking again here. So he's got a big buzz going on.
Right? Yeah.
And just this whole that whole line when he says like yeah but you made a host that's all that count you became a host that's all that matters right and she's like no it's not all that matters but he's definitely avoiding and like Terry said before I do believe he knows exactly what's happening through this whole he keeps pushing it off.
And this whole episode to me is an opportunity to really do some like Dax therapy for her to look at those inner parts of herself deeply and realize who she is and either accept the things that are part of her or know what's part of her and know what she's got to do moving forward. But I feel like we still this far into the episode haven't gotten a lot of that. It's a little bit with Curzon.
Right.
I feel like it's a missed opportunity, and maybe I'm showing my hand of my thoughts about the episode, but
yeah,
it just feels like a missed opportunity. Like
I feel like what we've learned so far is stuff we've already know about Dax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what feels like a missed opportunity. I don't think anything up to this point has led to some really big aha moment.
Yeah.
Or I kind of feel like, what's the point of this whole ceremony and exercise if it's just to find out that's I got putting my hands behind my head, behind my back. That person and Klingon martial arts from a gymnast. I mean, these are kind of vague and super,
very
like,
superficial.
Surface. Yeah, not important.
Yeah.
And
I guess that's why my analogy of like therapy, like this feels like she's literally in a sci-fi way unpacking these parts of herself to know herself better. But we're not really getting to know
but
her.
But what are yet. We on? We're not unpacking anything.
No.
This is a candy therapist, a therapist that you go to just hear yourself talk. La, 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 la. This is what I did this week. See you next week.
Yeah. Yep.
Am I a good girl? Did I stay on track?
Yeah.
That's not real therapy. That's just, I'm lonely and I would need someone to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt bad for you as an actor, to be honest, in this. Because when I first saw the description of this episode, I'm like, oh, wow, this is going to be great. I'm so excited for Terry. I'm so excited for this story. And then as it unfolded, I was just like, that's all? Like,
yeah,
I feel bad for you. This could have been such a great opportunity. And it really felt like a missed opportunity.
Well, yeah, I mean, but there are some answers that we get. There are some breakthroughs.
We do get one answer late in the episode. And it doesn't even feel like if that's the big aha moment, and we're getting there soon, but if that's the big aha moment, then they should have set you up, Terry, to be struggling with something that this would answer in a bigger way. And it didn't feel that way. They didn't give you the setup to have this mean something. So,
maybe that's because the big aha moment happened as an afterthought and they were like, oh, let's squeeze this scene in. And then there was no way to prep up to that, right? They'd already filmed all that stuff.
Maybe.
Who knows? All right. We're in the commander's office and we have, it's basically Sisko with the Guardian, the Troll Guardian and Dax. And the Troll Guardian informs everybody, guess what? There has to be cooperation from Odo. Odo has to give up these memories for Curzon to go back into those memories to go back into Dax. It's not.
They didn't
happen.
Mention that in the fine print when they first told everybody. About
I don't remember that. No, that. We did not talk about that in the war room.
No.
Nope.
That
no, we did not.
There. Yeah.
This complication.
But this is the only juicy tidbit.
Right.
And I really feel like it would have been nice if they, maybe not with all of them, but one or two other hosts surprise us with a, wow, I didn't know that about me.
Right.
To build up to, holy shit burgers.
Yes.
This is,
And shit burgers are bad. Nobody wants a shit burger.
Yeah. They do not taste good.
They do not.
Sisko asks, well, what's going to happen to Jadzia if we cannot persuade Odo to release Curzon's memories? And the Guardian says, well, it's just going to take some time to adjust to this new balance, but she'll be okay. Sisko then offers to talk to Curzon, saying that he knows Curzon quite well, maybe would be able to get him to cooperate. And Dax says, nah, I don't want to do anything. So Dax is now kind of
she's
a little
depressed.
Bit shell-shocked and depressed.
Yeah.
She's closing off right now.
Well, I think she's also not only depressed because of those things, but now she feels like how I'm here because someone felt sorry for me and they think I'm pretty.
Yeah. So
oh my gosh, I don't even have any.
It's very existential. You're thinking like, what does my life have any meaning at this point? Right. So there's a lot of issues going through her head. But Sisko kind of asked to speak to Dax alone. The Troll Guardian agrees and leaves. And he gives
because
her a bit
he
of
could
a,
see it.
Yes. He gives her a bit of a pep talk. He says like, look, let me just tell you about Curzon. I was friends with him. He was my confidant. He taught. He was my teacher. But he was also manipulative. He was manipulative. He was selfish. He was arrogant. And a lot of things he gets away with because of his charm, because of his personality. But there was every now and then that I would have to, you know, stand up to him because he'd pushed me too far. So he, in essence, Sisko is trying to prep Dax to also confront and stand up to Curzon.
Absolutely what he's doing.
We're in the corridor next, and Quark's walking down the corridor. You know, no problems in the world, it seemed. And all of a sudden, Rom grabs him and knows that he rigged the holosuite. I love this scene. Mm-hmm. It's very simply shot, but Rom going up to him nose to nose, and then the tracking shot as he pushed him, Quark, back and back and back up against the wall.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Rom puts his foot down.
He does.
Yep.
And he says, I told Sisko what you did, and Nog is going to retest. And if you do anything to mess that up, then I will burn the bar to the ground. And he means it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says, my son's happiness is more important to me than anything, even Latinum. Remember that, brother. And such a ending to that scene.
Great dad.
Oh, my God. I want to read a little thing about from Max. Max Grudenchik sees Facets as an important episode for Rom, commenting, in the next to last episode of season 3, Facets, a Jedzia Dax episode, the B story was about Nog taking a pre-entrance exam towards his entry into Starfleet Academy. Quark sabotages the test. Rom finds out. He waits for Quark to come down a corridor, throws him up against the wall, and says, if you ever do anything to hurt my son again, I will burn the bar to the ground. That was a turning point, both for the character and myself. Rom begins to stand up to his brother, here standing up for Nog, and later on standing up for himself. It was at the end of season 3, and I think it helped me begin to accept the possibility that the writers were trying to do something a little special with Rom. Maybe a little bit of a they like me. They really like me moment. By the way, yeah, the first take went very well, so we didn't do another. But I was really hoping I could throw Armin against the wall again.
That's funny.
Who could blame him?
Yeah. But if you notice, he actually grabs Armin and he doesn't throw him against the wall. So I feel like maybe there was another take because he says it was the first take, or maybe he confused it in his head because he kind of grabs him, but there's no actual throwing of against the wall. But still, very funny quote from Max.
All right. So next scene is in Odo's quarters. Dax tells Curzon that she wants her memories back. And
I am pumped from my talk with Sisko.
Giving me
some confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curzon calls you a little girl. How did you feel about that?
Not well. No. No. It was kind of, honestly, there was the element of how I was being treated by some of the higher ups, feeling like my head was being patted. You're just a pretty girl. You were a model. We don't really respect you because you don't have a lot to offer. You're just a pretty face.
Mm-hmm. Well, he says in the script, he says, don't use that tone of voice with me, little girl.
Yeah.
How condescending.
He's also drunk as a skunk right now, right? Isn't he super drunk at this point?
Well, he wasn't playing it drunk.
But he had a lot to drink, sort of, when he was like, it's really nice to be fluid and everything. I'm like, wow, you're really getting drunk.
Right.
Yeah. So I was just oozing around the room is what he starts with. So, and the way he's sort of, he's propping himself up on the, whatever that museum piece was, you know, that he, in the room. So I felt like he was so drunk, he couldn't even stand up straight is what I took from it. But maybe not.
Oh, right. Maybe that is it.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe that's part of it.
It just felt so kind of
flippant.
Condescending.
And flippant. But when you say something like,
and taking advantage of my situation, you're just enjoying yourself and I've lost a part of myself.
Right. But don't you agree, though, Terry, when people are super drunk, they start talking like that. They're like, don't you say that. Use that tone of voice with me, little girl. It was that kind of a delivery, I felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that Dax stands up for herself, though. And she literally says, you don't intimidate me anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't intimidate me. I'm not a little girl. And this is when Curzon says, you know, you're not. The truth is, You weren't a little girl back then. You were a brilliant and beautiful young woman, very beautiful. And then Dax puts it together. Wait a minute, you're in love with me? So suddenly this all comes out
It
that
all comes
he
out.
admits that he was in love with her, that he kicked her out because he was her supervisor. He didn't know how to deal with his feelings, but he was very relieved when she reapplied because he felt so guilty and such shame about it. And he says, you know, it's best that I stay in Odo's body and don't go. You know, I still love you, and I belong in Odo's body. And we get to the end of the scene. She says, no, we belong joined, and we should be together the way we should, you know, the right way, through Dax.
It's interesting. It's so interesting because he says, because Dax says there's no shame in that, Curzon. And he says, yes, there is. And if we rejoined, you'd feel it too. So he's almost like, you know, he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed. And he doesn't want to her to feel the shame that he's feeling. So he's like, I'm not going to go back into a body. That's why he's like, I'll stay in Odo. That's fine. I'll be Curzon forever to avoid that. But you're so smart, though, Dax. I mean, you're so smart. Your character is so smart in saying, no, I love you. But us to you coming back into me, we are then together the way you want, you know, which is brilliant writing. I think I like that.
It was really good
It
coming to
also
that
gives
conclusion
Dax
that way.
some resolution, I guess, with like,
Yes,
oh my God, you know what I mean?
100%.
She
She's
needed
been
that.
holding
Yeah.
on to this for a long time.
She needed it.
Feeling like it
And
was
he was playing
her
that game with
problem
her for a long time.
forever. Forever. Well, he's been playing a game with her for the entire episode. He won't even own up to it
No,
until
and
this
it goes
last
back
scene.
further than that, right,
Way
Garrett? It goes
further.
back further than that.
Yes.
Well, we go to Quark's next, and the whole gang is there. This is where all our principals were background just for
Yes, this is what I was
Rom's.
talking about. I'm sorry I jumped, but I really love this when everybody's in the bar.
Everybody's in the bar waiting. Rom steps in first. He introduces Starfleet's future. It is Nog who has passed the test. Nog comes in the uniform that Rom had made for him. And I love this cutaway to Miles where he's playing darts and he says, oh, I just realized that if when he graduates from Starfleet, I'm going to have to call Nog sir. Ugh.
I love that too.
Such a great
And
throwaway line. Love it.
So sweet.
So funny. And Nog goes up to the bar with Quark and he orders a root beer. And Quark's response is, wow, this is the end of Ferengi civilization.
As we know
A
it.
root beer.
Yeah.
Final scene is still at Quark's and Odo arrives and finds Dax, asked to join her. Odo apologizes and Dax shares that now she understands, you know, what a changeling feels, what Odo feels as a changeling, as a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
And Odo says he now understands what humanoids feel, you know, that they've had this, literally had this experience physically because of the symbionts and the hosts, I guess, the host, you know, feelings and experiences. So they both have this deeper understanding of each other, which is a big gift. That's a great gift.
And what brings us joy? It was a big thing about the joy that it brings.
Yeah. I do think that it's nice to bring the story back to series regulars and not anybody playing a character. You know, Dax has all her parts back in. Her therapy session's over. She's got all her parts back, but she's got some resolution with it all and she's grown a bit from it. She feels things that she and understands things she didn't. And so does Odo. So it's nice that it's the real characters. Kind of like Tuvix. Kind of like Tuvix, kind of, you know, back to Neelix and Tuvok. And not ending with not to open a Voyager can of worms, but that's a very controversial episode. And I like the fact that it's back to our regulars at the end of that story. Same as this. I think they're yeah.
Okay.
There you
In this
go.
situation, I think it's important to go f back to the beginning
Back.
again. And
Yep.
certainly the most important character, or the character that we got the most information that was new and helped Dax, was through Curzon Odo. Crozo.
Curzoto.
Curzodo.
Odzon.
Odzon.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
What is your lesson for this episode, Robbie?
My lesson is the old saying, sometimes you have to walk in someone else's shoes to know who they truly are. Mm. That's the lesson I got.
Okay.
Literally, they had to take on the personalities, walk in their shoes to really experience it.
All right.
Yeah. Ditto.
Terry, same thing?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Samesies?
Yeah. Well, yeah, those that walk a mile in my shoes.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we'll all agree to have Robbie's lesson then.
Yay.
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 Team walk in someone else's shoes.
Our Patreon poll winner for the theme moral of this episode is submitted by Jenny. Be as supportive of a father as Rom.
Oh, that's a good lesson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He was very supportive.
It is. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in to our recap and discussion of the episode Facets. Please join us next time when we will be recapping and discussing the episode The Adversary, and that will be with Terry again. So we get to see Terry for that one. Yay. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material and a little bit more Terry. Everyone else, see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.